I want to share with us briefly just a summary of the, or a cycle of the Christian experience. And then tomorrow we'll delve into the theme of the conference. Because I don't know the texture of doctrine in this territory, I need to bring a little bit of balance as a foundation that I will build upon. Because as we begin to navigate in the course of this conference, we may delve into certain mysteries that if basic understanding is not well furnished, may cause those who lack such understanding to drift into an unnecessary extreme. So I just want to share a few things briefly in a very simplistic sense tonight as a foundation or a foundational understanding for what we'll be building upon in the course of this conference. Hallelujah. Existence will have no value except as adequate understanding is furnished as touching the things that were in the heart of God before he began the project of creation. If you don't have an accurate understanding of the reason why you came, you will waste your time on earth. It's important for us to understand what was in the heart of God before he began the project of man. We are not here to succeed. We are not here to survive. We are here on an errand of a spirit that is eternal. In fulfilling the errand of that spirit, success will become a byproduct. If we distract ourselves in the pursuit of things, we will turn away from the errand that necessitated our creation in the first place. And so tonight, I just want to show us a little cycle of the experience of man since the day he came into this visible realm and up until the day he will leave this realm. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some people are praying and it's becoming difficult to stop praying. The Lord will help us. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, all fountains of the deep. Cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Shamayim, the heavens. There is too much to say about the heavens. It will take eternity to explore the vast secrets that were stored in the spirit realm and the intelligence that was put in place to establish those spiritual configurations. It will take eternity. The earth that was in singular form have over 500 galaxies. And they are still trying to understand it, the visible realm. So the heavens, that is plural. If the earth, the visible realm that is singular, have over 500 galaxies. Now, if you study a little bit about physics, astrophysics, you'll discover that there is something we call the endless darkness. Because all the universes are traveling away from themselves at a speed that cannot necessarily be quantified. So there is a gap, a darkness, an expanse between every planet and then between every galaxy in the Milky Way. Now, all of the visible realm is what the Bible called earth. Now, when you talk about the heavens, because I'm grouping the visible from the invisible. If we want to look at it in classical terms, we can call the earth what we live on. And then we call the first heaven the atmospheric. and then the second heaven and the third heaven. But it will take too much classification to achieve that.
So when we consider the whole visible realm at the earth, as the earth region, and then we enter the plural, the heavens, which is the spirit, it will take eternity to understand it. But with all of the majesty that is captured in creation, the Bible went further to say, in the beginning, God. So what it tells you is that God was not part of the beginning. He existed before the beginning. So the beginning came after God. That means the beginning is actually not the beginning. The beginning is actually a reference point in the bellies of Abba. So there are other dimensions in God that don't have a name. You can't classify them. But just in case, because you need a reference, let us begin to talk about creation from a reference. But God is more than a creator. One of the many things God does is to create. And the only thing we know about God are all the things we know about God are captured in creation. There are so many other things in God that man can't comprehend. So when you come into the categorization of creation, there's a necessity for reference. And because creation as one of the many things God does, because God has many enterprises, he is that bogus. So when you come into the enterprise of creation, in order for there to be a reference, so that you can distinguish creation from the many other things God does, that's why he said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, he now decided to introduce entities into creation so that they can participate in the game of immortals. Because one of the things immortals do is that they manifest power. The way an immortal spirit plays is to showcase power. You know, you, if you want to play now, you can go and play football. You can go and play cricket. But when an immortal spirit wants to play, he begins to manifest different fragrances of wisdom and power. So, you know, we say it's eclipse. The conference is eclipse. Before we eclipse, let's talk basic. I'm trying to open your mind so that you understand the league that you were introduced into. You will think life is about you and your family. And then when you wake up, you say, I will do what I want. You are just a joker. You don't know where you get. There is a boisterous reality taking place, and both you and now it's important for you to even know that the human race is the youngest in all of the creations that God introduced into the realm. Man is the last born of creation. That's what I'm saying. Because when you begin to check the cadres of Zion, there are some spirits that are called elders. See, there are some spirits called elders. Meanwhile, why you are struggling to become the president of Zambia? Before earth was created, those elders were already sitting on thrones. And there were 24 of them. Now, there are other spirits that are not called elders. Those ones, they are creation. There is a mystery that is weaved into them. And the assignment that they were summoned to carry out in Zion has to deal directly with the throne of God. Because in Ezekiel chapter 1, we saw that the throne of God rests on the shoulders of four different creatures. Those ones are called the beasts that stand in God's presence. And then when you graduate from the beast, then you have other cherubims that their job is to stand in the presence of God. He said, I am Gabriel. That means the presence of God is a privilege when you enter into the realm of reality. Because not every being in reality has the right to stand in the presence of God. He said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence. They are cherubims. And among the cherubims, there are some that they call chief princes. And among the chief princes, there are those they call arch. That means they are first in rank. Do you know why I'm saying all of this? To let you know that you came into an assembly that is regulated by laws and structures too rigid for your life alone to validate, to invalidate the laws and the structure that govern that realm is too big. The whole human race can be deleted if that structure will be violated. When God created all of this boisterous structure, he now was looking for a puppet that he will play with, that he will pour his love to, because those beings there, they are governed by service and power and glory. So when a Michael appears, he can stretch his hand and Zambia will melt. So they function. The Bible said they excel in strength. An angel that is not a cherubim, an angel that is not a chief prince, an angel that is not an archangel, was sent into the camp of the Amorites and he slew 185,000 people in one night. So imagine what will happen if an archangel comes. He will melt the whole nation in a moment. So in the realm of the angelic, the beings that are there, they are creatures of power, glory, and excellence. So every time God comes into the assembly, it's about judgment. It's about litigation. It's about legislation. But a point came that the love in the heart of God was seeking expression. But when God comes before Michael, the only thing they talk is judgment. The only thing they talk are the battles of Elohim. The only things they talk about are the governing systems and the policies that regulate all of the constellations of God. When God comes before Gabriel, the only thing they talk about are the mysteries that undergird creation. When God comes before Lucifer, before his fall, the only thing they talk about are the protocols of worship. God was looking for another creature that is not necessarily a being of power that he can have intimacy with. I know. You know, Pastor Chipo has mighty men. When he meets the administrator, he's asking him, hope the program went as planned. Hope the media guys didn't fail. Hope the network did not fluctuate. Well, how many people were in church? When he meets the accountant, he says, how much came in today? Have you paid for this? Have you paid for that? Send the balance to this. Have you given to the orphanage? But when he comes home to his wife, there's no need for network. It's intimacy. When he comes to his wife, there's no need for balance. There's no need for orphanage. He just wants to have rest. So when God saw that the first dimensions of his creation had to do with power, judgment, and legislation, he wanted to have another being that he can express love and intimacy to. By implication, what it means is that this new creature will be the most powerful. The reason is because the moment God chose to have an intimate relationship with that creation, God decided to become vulnerable. When a cherubim violates God once, he is cast from Zion forever and ever. When a prince in heaven falls, he is sentenced to Hades forever and ever. There's no possibility of redemption because their realm is governed by a rigid law that cannot be altered. And God is not vulnerable with the angels. God can tell Michael, go and cast Lucifer. So he came to him and said in Ezekiel 28 verse 18, he said, because of the multitude of thy iniquity, thou hast corrupted thy sanctuary. Therefore you will be cast from the mountain of God as profane. And God never thought twice about it. He forgot him forever. Because he is not weak with them. But when God came to man, and man fell, instead of God to forget him the way he forgot Lucifer, God now decided to disguise himself and become a man and sneak into the realm of man. You know, when God appears in Zion, the only thing they see are thunder and lightning. They've never seen him because they don't have the right. So God decided deliberately, the way I'm wearing this jacket, what God wears is a light that is unapproachable. Is thunder and lightning. So every time the angel look up, they go to their faces. So when man fell, God decided to remove the jacket of lightning and hung it on his throne. And he took the garment of flesh, wore it, and sneaked into the human race. That's the depth of love God has for you. So in all of God's creation, you are the last born, you are the weakest, but you are the strongest, because with you, God is vulnerable. So when man discovered the vulnerability of God, you know, Adam in Eden was also attending council meetings in heaven, because he was also a prince in Zion. When he discovered that every other angel comes to the throne room to worship, but for him, God comes out of the throne room in the cool of the day and look for him in Eden. Every other prince will come to the throne room and say, we stand in God's presence. But when God wants to meet with Adam, he will leave the throne room and look for him in Eden. And he said, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. Adam, Adam, where art thou? When Adam discovered his foundation, when Adam discovered that God was vulnerable towards him, Adam now decided to exploit it. He now decided to violate the code that governs intimacy. He now decided to trivialize the sacred relationship that God had with him. He decided to undermine the privilege he enjoyed, because God, on account of law, decided to be vulnerable to him. And Adam violated God. So Adam was cast from the Garden of Eden. The moment Adam left Eden, something happened to Adam. That's where I want to begin from tonight. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is the state of man. Because if you don't know the state of man, you will wake up on the 1st of January and say, from today, I will not lie again. And before 12 o'clock, you will lie 7 times. You wake up and say, I will not fornicate again. You don't know the state of man. You have not realized the state of man. There are 4 things that we mentioned. They are actually 12. But let me pick 4. Just to open your eyes to the state of man. Because we are going somewhere in the course of this conference. We are going somewhere. I need you to know where you are, so that you discover that your tongue will disappoint you 1,000 times. Your heart will fail you 1,000,000 times. Even your body, you will make the decision, but when the devil flashes his commodity, your body will begin to shake. And then you tell yourself, I will never talk to any lady again. And then the devil will check. When the devil wants to check you, he won't come to you first. He will go to your great-grandfather. And when he checks, he will discover that your great-grandfather loved dark women. He will now come to your father. Your father loved dark women. Whether you like it or not, you will love dark women, because you are falling. If you were not falling, you would have been defined by the dimension of God you represent. But because you are falling now, you are compared to come under the law of DNA. So the things that happen to your grandfather will happen to you. The devil knows. Abraham loved fair women. Isaac loved fair women. Jacob loved fair women. You are a fallen man. If you don't realize that you are a fallen man, you will even come to the altar to serve an immortal spirit. And it will come with your good voice. And then you are singing and twisting your voice. How God is good. If it was about a good voice, the Bible said 1,000 upon 1,000. 10,000 times 10,000. They keep singing day and night. If one angel sings here, he will dwarf 1,000 choir. And the instruments they use, your keyboard has 8 octaves. They use instruments that some of them are 17 strings. When you are playing your guitar of 6 strings, that's a very big guitar. If you come to the spirit realm, one guitar can have 17 strings. So there are some chords that earth have not heard of. Because in the spirit realm, sound is not only for worship, sound is for war. So, when God wants to go to war, they begin to play their sound. There are certain sounds that activate power. There are certain sounds that open scrolls where mysteries are kept. There are certain sounds that activate gifts. On earth, you sing song, you enjoy it. They don't seem to enjoy heaven. That's the least purpose of sound in heaven. In heaven, sound can be a medium of transport. So when a spirit wants to travel, it releases a sound. That's why the Holy Ghost came on the voice of a sound, of a rushing mighty wind. Spirits travel on sound. You come to church to worship and sing with a good voice. When a spirit wants to go to Nigeria, all he needs to do is to release the sound. And as that sound is struck, the spirit will appear in Nigeria. And you say, what happened? The sound energized him. When a spirit wants to fight, he releases a sound. So when you come next time in the flesh, because you have a good voice, you now discover that your voice costs zero in the realm of immortals. Because they have the best voices. They are kept on shelf. When you come next time to worship, you will come with a humble heart. Because it is the weight of your heart that sounds louder in the corridors of immortals. But the reason you will glory in your voice is because you have not estimated man. You don't know the state of man. They say you should come and preach. And then as you came to preach, because you speak better English than everybody, you now come, you begin to speak grammar. Men will clap and but spirits will be waiting because you have not started talking. Because in the realm of spirits, in the realm of spirits, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. So if your word doesn't carry life, you are making noise. And in the realm of spirits, when they begin to talk, they start creating. So when a spirit begins to talk, light will appear. The dry ground will appear. When a spirit starts talking, man will come alive. Because their realm, words are for spirit and life. Words are for creation. So when next you want to preach, thank God you can speak good English. But good English doesn't have a score in Zion. They want to see your motive. They want to see the spirit that is giving you utterance. If the Holy Ghost doesn't give you utterance, you will talk for 20 minutes. You just, it will be like a child who stood and said, hey, 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 because you won't strike a chord in Zion. So when you discover the state of man, you will come before him with fear and trembling. Let me show you four things that happen to man first, so that you will appreciate the next thing I want to say, because I want to say another thing. It's introduction, so I have to be basic. I don't know whether the level of doctrine here, so I have to be basic. When man fell, the first thing that happened to him was that he was bereft of glory. What qualified a man was the weight of glory that he carried. And the reason is because he was created in the image and in the likeness of God. So the word glory is not a cloud. It's the essence of God that a man can give expression to. That means if you met the man that was not falling, when he talks, it's God you will touch. When he touches you, it's God you will touch. Everything that comes out of him releases God. He is like a channel that dispenses God to his generation. But when the man died, God was withdrawn from him. So he lost glory. That was when the man began to pride in English. Before, when that man is talking to you, you will be encountering God. So if you wanted to see God, you will look for a man. When the man comes to you and said, Nathaniel, how are you doing? That Nathaniel, how are you doing? We translate to an encounter. Because he doesn't know how to talk. All he says is God. Because he is a being of glory. He was created in the image and in the likeness of God. If that man touched you, he didn't need to pray for you. When he touched you, he will deposit God on you. That God he deposits on you, if you had cancer, the cancer will go. If you were struggling with reproach, the reproach will go. Favor will start following you. And you will not know what will happen. You say, in the last 3 days I've been lucky. You were not lucky. A man who carried God touched you. That was how Adam functioned in Zion. He was a carrier of God. But when he fell, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the man could no longer dispense God. I'm saying this, we are going somewhere so that you will know what to pursue. A lot of people are pursuing earthly things. Earthly things are byproducts in the realm of reality. If you carry glory, money will chase you. If you carry glory, there's a wisdom you will tap into, that you will know what to do to generate wealth. You won't struggle with it. But if you leave glory and you start pursuing money, you didn't know the things you lost. He said, for all have sinned, have fallen short of the glory of God. Number two, when man fell, the second thing that happened to him was that he left the realm of life and he sojourned in the realm of death. Before, everything about the man carried life. If that man drinks water, That water itself will be alive. If you have entered the spirit realm, you will understand this one. This one is hard to explain. If you enter the spirit realm and you see a cup, the cup will tell you what it does and what is inside. Because the cup is not matter. The cup is alive. Everything in the spirit realm is alive. The chair you are sitting on in the spirit realm can begin to talk to you. You will be communicating at the frequency of thought. You will know when the chair is tired. You know, spiritual things are hard to explain. You drink water. The water you are drinking itself will be alive. So when you drink the water, it won't quench your thirst. It will enliven you. That's how the spirit realm works. So everything the man did released life. But when the man fell, life left him. The man began to die. It only took time for death to manifest. That's number two. Number three, when the man fell, he couldn't please God anymore. There was nothing he could do to please God. That's why Jesus said something. He said, without me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. And just in case you want to do something, in John chapter 6, verse 63, he said, the flesh profits nothing. That means, without me, you can do nothing. But in case you do something, that thing you did is still nothing. So, for example, without me, you can't walk. And then you say, well, I don't need to walk. I will crow. When you now crow for 2 hours, you'll be where you started from. So the man could no longer please God. Everything he did was in the realm of contamination. That's why you will stop trusting your brain when you want to do spiritual things. You will say, Lord, help me. When you want to do anything spiritual, even if it's to sing song for children, you will say, Lord, help me. Because you can't do nothing. That's the realm where the man fell to. Without me, you can do nothing. And then number four, the man became a slave of other spirits. So when you carry your phone around 12 midnight and you send that message to that lady and you thought, oh boy, I'm being creative. What you didn't know is that a demon was whispering to your ear. My servant, my servant. You know, you stand up, you say, I toast the lady, she agreed. Oh, no, no, no. You are a puppet. If your eyes open, you will discover that time you wanted to go on that date and you were planning to commit immorality. And you were in a rush as if your body was itching you. 12 demons were the ones flogging you. Go now! And then you say, where is my trouser? Where is my singlet? And then you don't know spiritual language. That's why you thought you were in a rush. You are a puppet in the hands of spirit. Man became a slave of spirits. So when you discover that there is no more glory, there is no more life, if you discover that you can no longer please God, and you discover you have become a slave of every other spirit, then you will come to the second point that I want to talk about. You will know that you need a savior. That's why Jesus came. You need a savior. This is basic foundational doctrine that I'm sharing. From tomorrow, we'll enter revival. But before we begin to enter, navigate territories and places in the spirit, let's know the foundation. Thank God for the cultures we inherited from our ancestors. Even those ones, demonic spirits inspired them. That's why their own good is selfish. They're only good to their children and their relatives. Because a spirit of selfishness pioneered that order. And the goal is self-preservation. It's not good in itself. So as good as your culture is, it's not enough. When you come to that point, you know you need a savior. And when the savior steps into the equation, everything you lost, he becomes it for you. He doesn't necessarily give it to you. He becomes it for you. That means you are sentenced to living in him, with him, and through him forever. You can only find meaning now within his context. The moment he's exonerated from your reality, you are lost. That means everything about you, including your breath, becomes a product of his generosity and benevolence. So every time you step out of your house, your shoulders can't be high anymore. You would rather lean on Yeshua HaMashiach, because he has become your all. That's why he said in John chapter 3 from verse 16, for God so loved the world. The same love that provoked your creation, it provoked God again. And he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means you not dwell in the realm of death, but you have life everlasting. In John chapter 5 verse 26, it said, whoever believeth in me have passed from death to life. That means the verdict of death that was upon the man, on account of your fraternity with Christ, the living God, you have departed from the realm of death into the realm of life. That's why in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father, who have made us meet to qualify, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That inheritance is the life that he brings back into your spirit. The darkness that dominated your soul, the evil that was ingrained within the tablets of your heart, the motivations of iniquity that powers your existence. He said, because you have fraternized with him that is the being of glory. He said, the life that he carries have become the operating system of your being. That's why he said that whoever has the Son, in 1 John 5:11, he said he has life. He said, for eternal life is in the Son. So whoever has the Son has that life. And Paul was struggling in Romans chapter 7 verse 24. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? And then he remembered something, that the solution to death, the solution to lack of glory, the solution to darkness, and the solution to helplessness have been found. And the totality of that solution is in the glorious one that descended from Zion. And he said, the law of life that is in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I have found another circle. I have found another solution. I have found strength. Even though my muscles count for nothing, there is one that doesn't need a muscle to release strength upon my being. So every morning of my life, before I step out, I look upon him that shines in the midst of the cherubims. That's why the foundation of reality is not eloquence. The foundation of reality is not a gift. The foundation of reality is not your capacities. Outside of this being called Christ, everything you are and can ever be is a waste. It's a waste. So the journey that constitutes the eclipse is a migration from flesh to divinity. The journey that constitutes the eclipse is a migration from self-confidence to Christ consciousness. The journey that constitutes the eclipse and that will signify value on the apostolic invasion is a departure from humanity to divinity. That you find that navigatory path where you journey from the weakness of flesh and you lean onto him that becomes your strength. That's why he said, I can do all things, but not by myself. It is through Christ who strengthens me. There is a necessary journey that will happen to you when the eclipse of the spirit begins. When that eclipse begins to manifest to you, there is a pathway that you will find. He said, there is a path that no man knoweth. He said, the vulture's eyes have not trodden upon it. The lion's webs have not walked there. It is the path from weakness to strength. It is a path from self to Christ. It's a journey from me to him. If that journey has not happened, your lingo, your intelligence will count for nothing. You will walk through a dark world and you think you are smart. At the end of the corridor, you will hear a verdict of a prince. He will say, there's a path that seemeth right unto a man. The heir thereof is death. There is a departure that our generation have suffered. Our generation have migrated from him that sits upon the throne. We have brought prosperity and turned the children of God from the worship of the monarch. We have brought gifts of the spirit and we have turned sons of order from the path of the brightness and the illumination that comes from the throne. Men depart unto themselves and they pride themselves in the things that they can do apart from God. When an eclipse takes place, men will return back to Abba. Because the word Abba means the foundation of truth. The word Father means fundus. It means sustainer and nourisher. There can be no eclipse in your life until you find that pathway, that journey back to immortality, the same that dwells in the sun. That is where Christianity begins from. And any doctrine that violates that is a doctrine of devils. He that dwells in the midst of the cherubims, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubims, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubims, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Oh, shine, shine like the fire, shine like the rain. Oh, shine, shine like the fire, shine like the rain. I don't want to shine. I want Jesus to shine through me. I don't want to be popular. I want Jesus to be popular through me. Ha! He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. He who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth. Oh, shine, shine like the fire, shine like the rain. Oh, shine, shine like the fire, shine like the rain. You know, John said, I must diminish, I must decrease while you increase. You know, when people were hailing me here, I was sitting there. I said, Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. You know, this man can do nothing. Have mercy. It is him that dwells in the midst of the cherubim that shines. But it's a journey. You don't wake up to it. In the next 5 minutes, I will explain to you 3 steps into that journey. You know, it's basic. These are basics. These are basics. But you see, when a prophet carries the microphone and is looking for money, and he says what he wants, and because the people themselves have lost, and they know that what he's saying is not of God, yet they follow it. Because the prophet has an ambition apart from God, the people have an ambition apart from God, then Jesus will stand alone. He will be looking for the men that he will manifest through, he can't find them. When an apostle wants to enslave a generation, and he makes himself like a cherubim among men, oppressing people and using perception engineering and dark wisdom to enslave people, then our generation is in trouble. That's why you can see one man shining in a place for a decade, nobody like him. And the moment somebody like him rises, there's a problem. Because we don't want Jesus to shine. We want to be the one shining. In this conference, you will come somewhere that Jesus will shine. If Jesus begins to shine, Zambia will be delivered. The salvation of this nation is not in the government house. No. He said the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. This is where salvation is. But Jesus has to shine. Jesus has to shine. Ah, do we still have time? My God. It's 8:44. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We'll start early tomorrow morning. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. I'll just highlight it for you quickly. If I have time tomorrow, I'll begin from there. The journey to that point where Jesus begins to live and shine through you have many steps, but I'll show you 3 and summarize it. Because if you don't take responsibility in this kingdom, you go nowhere. Do you know why people put money at the feet of a man of God? Because they want that man to pray on their behalf. They want that man to decree and everything works well. And then they will carry it and go and lavish on their lost. That is deception. Everybody must travel for himself. You too, we have to travel. You will journey. You will journey. You will journey. And you will journey far. The first thing that happens is that you will acknowledge your state in Christ. And there are three things. The first acknowledgement of your state is that Jesus is your Savior. Therefore, you will believe Him and confess Him. That's basic. He said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. You will believe and confess. Number two, you will acknowledge everything Jesus says you are to be what you are and who you are. Let me tell you something. Many times, because people still remain in the flesh, they refuse to acknowledge what God calls them. They want to call themselves what they qualify so that they can take the glory. You cannot grow and you cannot begin this journey until you forget everything you are and you take everything He says you are. He will call you righteous, but you know you are still smoking. He will call you righteous, but you know you are still a fornicator. You want to go and fast and pray for 40 days and then you come back and say, I will never fornicate again. And then when you stop fornicating for 2 weeks, you say, ah, when I fasted for 40 days, you think it's a joke? And then you'll take the glory for breaking that spell. It's a lie. It won't work. After a while, you will go back. Are you going to continue fasting? Yes. But before you begin to fast, you must acknowledge the fact that he has said that we may boldly say. You will acknowledge the fact that He said you are delivered. You will acknowledge the fact that He said you are righteous. So when you go to the place of prayer, you are not praying so that when you come out, you will become. You go to the place of prayer with what He said and present it to Him. You have made me righteous. Therefore, I live it because that's what you say I am. That is how to acknowledge. So in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, He said that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. See how many believers behave. They don't acknowledge what God says they are and pray with it. They wait until they fall. Then they go and sit down and cry. That their tears is pride. You know why they are crying? How can me like this fall? How can I fall again? How can this thing be happening to me? And then they are wondering, can you imagine? I'm the fellowship president. You don't live right because you are fellowship president. You don't live right because you are apostle. You live right because you have received the help of God. All of us, we pray and fast, but we pray with different motives and we pray differently. The man who receives help, he takes what God says he is and brings it back to God and say, Lord, this is what you have made me. I will not continue like this. I acknowledge this you say I am and I become it. And then you are praying and then you are praying. That is what activates first. There are two things it does. It activates a consciousness in your mind. The first consciousness it activates is that you are no longer a slave of that. You have been delivered from that. That's the first thing that happens to you. So instead of coming to cry before the Lord, you go to the Lord and say, you have made me righteous. I'm not a fornicator anymore. And then as you are saying it, that consciousness begins to ingrain in your mind. The next time thoughts of fornication come, you don't know where you spontaneously say, I am not a fornicator. You have built a consciousness. Number two, when you acknowledge like that, the power of God is activated in your life. The power of God will wait until you acknowledge. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6 verse 11, he said, reckon ye that you were dead with him and that you are raised with him. If you don't acknowledge, if you don't calculate it to be what God says you are, you can't go nowhere. You cannot use your will to come out of the trouble. You will have to continually rely on Him. And the first way to do it is to acknowledge. You are poor, you want to break out of poverty. You have to begin by acknowledging what He has done. that he was made poor so that you'll be made rich. So when you are going to pray, you are not depending on your salary. Because a lot of people are praying hoping that contract will come. A lot of people are going to pray because of their connection with the president. A lot of people are going to pray. So the day the director is supposed to sign the form, then they say they have sacked the director. And suddenly their hope comes crashing. But the man who acknowledges his success, predicated upon what Christ have done, when he goes to pray, his confidence is in Christ. Thank God for the human connection. But the human connection is a channel that Christ has made. When I go to pray, I give thanks to the Father because he was made rich that I can no longer be poor. My prayer is built upon what he has done. That's acknowledgement. I keep saying it to myself. Many years ago, we kept talking that we journey around the world. We will go around the world to preach the gospel. And somebody looked at us and said, how will you do it? They thought we are going to say we are gifted. They thought we are going to say that we were smart. Do you know how many gifted people there are only in Zambia? You say you are a prophet, you call names and phone number. There are some other prophets that can draw it. You say you are intelligent. There are people in Zambia that run IQ level of almost 338. Geniuses of the highest order. And they are here competing. When we say we will take the word, they thought we were speaking because we were eloquent. No. We say because when he rose from the dead, he said, all power in heaven has been given to me. And he said, go in that power. So we say there is a power that will take us around the world. And even when we don't expect it, that power is still working. We pray it on the basis of an acknowledgement. The reason many people can't acknowledge God is because they don't know what the flesh is. They still think there's profit in the flesh. So when they come and they are talking, they are thinking about something. Because you have energy to pray, you can pray for 10 hours and go and fornicate the next minute. You see them, they say they will change Zambia. They will take over Zambia. And when you check their heart, they are saying so because it looks as if they are the most forensic prophet among their friends. Wait until the day you want to go out. Then you will meet 10 people that are 10 times better than you. You will now discover that no, there is something that will shift you. That's when you will leave. If you estimate flesh correctly, you will never trust in it. That's why Paul said we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. All of us will pray, all of us will fast, but some of us will pray trusting our abilities. Others will pray trusting what Jesus has done for them. The one that trusts on what Jesus has done, we have the victory. Any day, anytime. That the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. Thank God for your prayer power. Thank God for the gifts of God that are in you. But what is your trust anchoring on? Is your trust anchoring on your prayer power? Is your trust anchoring on your gift? Is your trust anchoring on your eloquence? You don't know the principalities that are in the realm. You don't understand that the communication of your faith will become effectual. Number two is to yield to the Holy Spirit. The proof that you don't trust in yourself anymore is that you would completely yield to the Holy Spirit. That is where men are empowered to begin to give expression to the Christ that is on their inside. He said, I have many things to tell you, but I can't say it. How be it when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all reality. The Holy Ghost is the one that brings and animates the things of the Spirit. But the only time the Holy Ghost can work is when you yield to him. If you don't yield to the Holy Ghost, he cannot be powerful in your life. Many people do a lot of things, but the Holy Ghost is given a backstage. He's relegated to the back. And then when they just come up, they now say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. Every day you must practice the act of yielding to the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't come in complex doctrine so that nobody has an excuse. You can wake up in the morning, you want to eat, and you lose your peace. The Holy Ghost doesn't want you to eat. You know, you leave the food. You are not yet a prayer warrior. You are not yet a seer, but you have found the Holy Spirit. And you can discern the movements of the Holy Spirit. And as you begin to yield to the movements of the Holy Spirit, something is about to begin to happen in your life. These are basics. But I tell you, many believers don't know them. That's why we struggle. We know a lot of mysteries, yet we struggle. Because the deliverance is what we don't tap into. How often and how swift do you yield to the Holy Spirit? I was sharing with them in Abuja 3 days ago, and I told them how Paul lived his life. You will hear in the scripture, the Bible say, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, cursed by Jesus, and say you will be blind in a season. It wasn't because Paul was angry. It was the move of the Spirit in his soul. The Bible said Paul went to pray in Acts 16, and a young damsel followed them every day and said, these are the servants of God. Come to show us the way of salvation. Paul didn't do anything until a point came. He said, Paul grieved in the Holy Ghost, rebuked the Spirit. They were not dependent on anything. Their job every day was to find the movement of the waters. They just keep navigating. When they are walking, they are seeking the Holy Spirit. When they are praying, they are looking for the Holy Spirit. When they are worshiping, they are looking for the Holy Spirit. They don't pray because they want to pray for 20 hours. There are times when you discipline yourself and exercise your soul to pray long. But even while they are yet exercising themselves, they are checking if the move will happen. That's why in 1 Kings 18, the Bible said from verse 32 that Elijah said to Elisha, go and check. The prayer was not about, I can kneel and pray for 7 hours. I'm looking for the moves in the cloud. And the moment he found it, he knew power had come. This is what the men of old knew. That's why you will see all of us will fast. Only few of us will get the result. Because while others are fasting, they are depending on their ability to study. Another person is fasting and depending on the Holy Spirit. Depending on the Holy Spirit. All of us, we preach. Somebody else is preaching because he knows the Bible. Somebody has come to preach. He's trusting the Holy Ghost to give him utterance. He's trusting the Holy Ghost to give him utterance. At the end of the day, the man that yields to the Holy Spirit becomes God's choice man. If you have not learned to yield to the Holy Spirit, you have not eclipsed. I can come here and set this place on fire. Even before preaching, you will receive impartations that will translate to nothing. Because you will still go out there and say the champion apostle have come. Because you can speak better than your 5 friends. Do you think God sent you to your 5 friends? God sent you to all the world. Because you know better than your 10 friends. And when you come, you talk mystery, they clap for you. You impress your friends. You have not started talking to kings. They are clapping. Your friends are clapping for you. And you feel you are doing so much. And you start calling yourself Titus. You have not gone anywhere. How about when you preach the doctrine of healing intelligently, and when you finish, they bring somebody with cancer? Or while you are teaching intelligently, 5 people in your front who are nodding like this were deaf. And then you finish your healing exegesis and they remain deaf. It's a sign that you are a talker, you are not a witness. Because the one who will minister to the deaf ear is not in English language, it's the Holy Spirit. And if you know it, when you go out there, you will know the one that truly makes the difference is the Holy Ghost. So you will begin to yield to him and master how to yield to him even before you step out. Basic. But many have not gone there. If you tell yourself in the next 1 week, I want to depend on the Holy Spirit, you will discover how full of flesh you are. Because from the time you wake up, you will see that you depend on yourself for everything you do. When you are now in danger, the Holy Spirit that you left behind many miles away, you are now hoping that he will appear. You left him behind. Tell yourself in the next 1 week, when I wake up, I'll depend on the Holy Spirit. You'll be shocked how far you have departed. Meanwhile, there are many people that even before they woke up, the Holy Ghost is already singing in their heart. They will join him in the song. And when they are done singing, the Holy Ghost begins to remind them. I told you yesterday by 7 a.m., go and see this person. You know, I told you, stop dressing like this. You are going to wear a suit today. And then before the person wakes up, the Holy Ghost have already said 20 things. Somebody else is waiting for the Holy Ghost to say one. In 3 weeks, he hasn't said any. It means you are rusty. And because you are rusty, you can't grow to a point where kingdom can be committed to you. Because it's a day that are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Bow your heads and pray. Let's stop here. It's just introduction.
I realized when I started pressing into mystery, some people became so excited.
The prayer point is one. Holy Spirit, I yield to you completely. That's all. I yield completely. I know you are a bishop. I know you are an apostle. I know you are a politician and you know your game. Thank God you know your game. But submit it to the Holy Spirit and see how better you can become. I know you are a businessman. You are an expert of the stock market. But yield it to the Holy Spirit and see the difference He brings to your life. If I don't bring you here, I can't proceed. Because if I don't get you to know that it's all about yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, when I start saying some things tomorrow, you will miss me. You will miss me. That's why I guided you here. So you will know that everything we say will make our boast in God. Yeshua Amashiach, Lion of Judah, Agone Chemba, Yeshua Amashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chimba, Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chimba, Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah.
Can I shock you, brothers and sisters? No matter how well you know your craft, refuse to master it to a point where you become self-dependent. Always ensure there is a gap for the Holy Spirit to play the role of leader. If you leave him behind, you will be shocked when you contend with the evil day. Some of us need to repent because we have mastered the Holy Spirit. But for us to really make eternal impact, the Holy Ghost needs to master us. That's where the difference is. I want to pray. I told you there are seals. There is a seal that God wants to unlock tonight. But before I unlock that seal, I want you to consciously submit your life to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you are a sinner. If you are, you will still submit yourself. But I'm saying you are becoming a master, so you are self-dependent. The Holy Ghost doesn't have a place in your life. I know the church is growing. People are coming every day. But you and I know you are running based on your intelligence. You have mastered church growth principle. And you know it so well that there's no space for the Holy Spirit. I know the business is booming. You have mastered the principle of economics so much. The Holy Ghost doesn't have a place. I know you know how to preach. You have preached for some years now. You know all the doctrine. And you know it so well now that the Holy Ghost doesn't have a space. You need to submit to God tonight. That's where this journey, this conference, that's where the journey will begin from. Before the fire and the power begin to move, I was ministering somewhere last week. I saw all kinds of miracles. But I tell you that even the miracle service tomorrow evening, I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. There's never room for mastery. Because you can come to a place, cancer will fall. You will go to another place, you will struggle with headache. You will sweat. The problem is not the difference between cancer and headache. You have not mastered how to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because the same power that healed cancer is the one that will heal headache. The difference is that at one point, you fluctuated to yieldedness. At another point, you fluctuated to self. So you will see the power of God drifting and dwindling. There are many people with great destinies here, but the Holy Ghost needs an allowance.
If that allowance can be achieved, then tomorrow we can fly. You want that to happen now? Put your hand on your chest and submit to him. If I say come out, we may not have enough space. Put your hand on your chest and tell the Holy Ghost, take charge. Take charge. I submit. Take charge. Take charge. Don't be quick to just talk. Go back in your thoughts to those places where you are self-master and tell him, those are the places you submit. Some of us, when we want to talk, we have too much utterance. We just want to jump out and begin to wow people. Some of us, we can see so well. So, hi, it's a body. The moment we carry microphone, we take charge. Because some of the things that will disqualify you are the things you are very good at. Take charge.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.